sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in service for my Lord, dark may be the night, but I'll cling more close to him, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside, but my Lord goes ahead, leads whate'er betide. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look toward the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight, and with a tender hand outstretched toward the valley low, guiding me I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before me billows rise from the mighty deep, and my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently on through this world below, and he's a real friend to me. Oh, I love him so. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all past, home at last, ever on that chorus. Oh yes, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, home at last, ever on that chorus once more. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, up there to sing forever of his saving grace. And on the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares all pass, ever to rejoice.
Chapter 15. And I've got a great subject this morning. I'm excited about it. Oh, I want to preach it right. The miracle of Christ's defeat of death. The miracle of Christ's defeat of death. Now, how many of you understand the word death? Have you recently had someone you knew to die? Someone you loved to pass on? And you grieved? You grieved Brother Bob up in West Virginia today. More than anything else, he's grieving over the loss of his wife of 40-some years. I mean, it's an easy death. Death is the ultimate enemy of every living soul. Every one of you are going to die. You're going to die. Just as sure as I'm standing here, you're either going to die or go up in the rapture. That's the form of death, because the old man will become the new man. The old man will die and the new man will be born instantly, and those raptured to caught up to meet the Lord. So death is a very present enemy. And every one of you are dying right now. Every one of you. Death is at work in this body. The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, I want to read to you, and I want you to listen carefully, because I need God's help this morning really bad. Go with me, this great passage, the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and verse 35. I can't read all I want to, but I'll read a little. Listen carefully. But some man will say, how are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? How are the dead raised? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sayest thou sowest, not the body that shall be, but thy grain, if may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is the flesh the flesh of men, another flesh of beast, another of fish or fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, and the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, but one star differeth from another star in glory. Now listen. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised a spiritual body. It is sown a mortal body. It is raised a spiritual body. That which is natural first, and then that which is spiritual. Now, I want to preach this thought on the miracle of Christ's defeat of death. Jesus Christ absolutely took death by the throat and choked it to death. Jesus literally destroyed death forever. Now, that's only to the believer. That's only to the person who comes to Christ. That's only to the person who gives him their life. If you live in sin, you live in death. If you live in sin, you live in death. Now pray that God will give us a fresh understanding of death and the victory over death. Father, in Jesus' name, your servant stands before this wonderful congregation to do his best this morning to preach that which will change lives. That which will change lives. And I pray for a miracle of your hand, a miracle of your wisdom. And let Holy Ghost conviction take hold of this church. Let Holy Ghost conviction reach deep into our lives and change us in Christ's name. You may be seated. Now, I want you to listen carefully, because before I can preach to you about resurrection and about the glorious victory of Christ's death, you have got to understand death. You've got to understand the source of death. You've got to understand where death had its beginning. You must know that when God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, there had never been a death. There had never been a death. No one or nothing had ever died until God put Adam and Eve in the garden where they were to live eternally. They were eternal creatures. They were raised for an eternal life. The soul of man cannot die. The soul of man cannot die. And when they were put place in the garden, even their bodies were not destined to die. But something happened. And God had warned them of this. And I really need you to make sure you hear it. Let me read to you what is said in the book of Genesis. And this is God talking to Adam and Eve. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge. Say that word knowledge, would you? Everybody, would you say it? Knowledge. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou canst not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Here we have God telling us what would cause death. Here we have God telling Adam and Eve something that they must not do, because if they did, they were going to die. And God ties this to knowledge. God says, thou shalt not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now look at the generations of the world. Look at the world today and the attitudes and the directions and the lifestyles that you see everywhere. You cannot make anything out of anybody's life but their own decision, their own knowledge, the choices they've made up here or in here, the choices they've decided upon. And everything we all decide upon has to have some basis of knowledge, some basis of background, some understanding of choices. I talk to people all the time about the need of Christ. They need to be born again. They need to be saved. And they will look at you as though they are looking through you. And they don't understand. They don't grasp. I think maybe some of that's our fault. Because you've got to understand that all of this is based on the knowledge in a given person's life. People raised in the church, they know if they're raised in a good church. People raised in the world, they know the world. They know the direction of the world. They've seen enough in the world to know there's something wrong with the world. You can't look at it and not know there's something wrong. Well, it's all based on knowledge. The knowledge that God has given man. Nothing is a sin to you. Nothing is a sin to you until you are convicted of that sin. Till you understand that sin. And you know what that sin is going to do to you. Now you may do it without the knowledge of it and still pay the consequence of it. But as you become acquainted with it, and as you have the knowledge of it, you begin to understand. Now the psalmist David painted the clearest picture of the knowledge of sin that you can find in the Bible. I never found this before, but I found it this week as the Holy Ghost led me to go again to the book of Psalms, to division 1, the first chapter, the first verse. And immediately the Holy Ghost began to show me the knowledge that brings about the consequence of life, the knowledge that decides which way you're going, which direction you're going to take. Let me tell you something that the world has done that is one of the most devastating things that ever happened. The world started taking young people when they graduate from high school and gave us a system of sending them on to places of higher learning so they would become knowledgeable. And 98% of them, maybe 99, are no more ready no more prepared to go into that world of intellectualism and knowledge and not lose their way. I sat in my home in a chair in my house and said to one of my grandsons, I said, listen to me, young man, you are smart as a whip. You have an incredible intellect. And you're going off into these colleges and universities. And I want to tell you something, young man. They're going to make a liberal out of you if it's in their power to do it. They will steal from you everything you've learned. They will steal from you every bit of knowledge of the Bible. They'll steal from you the consciousness of God. They'll steal it all. Because the world of knowledge is where God put the curse on man. Are you willing to hear this? The things in your head are the things which will decide your life. The things in your head will decide your life. Now, this scripture is so powerful, you gotta hear it. And I want you to get it written down in your heart, in your mind. Listen, everybody listening. Psalms division 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Three things he gave as the knowledge of sin. Number one, he said, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's false learning. Then he said, now standeth in the way of sinners. That's false living. Now sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's false thinking. So here you have a picture of where sin starts. It starts with false wisdom. It moves to false living. It then goes to false thinking. Maybe it starts with thinking. I don't know. There's some controversy there. But I can tell you those three things describe the knowledge that rules our world today. The knowledge of the wicked. That's living or taking your learning from ungodly people. Number two, it is false living. That's living like the world lives around you. And then false thinking. That's thinking like the intellectual minds of your generation. Now, let's try to apply that and understand. When you listen to ungodly people talking their junk to you, you're in trouble when you start listening. Somebody help me now. That's where sin starts. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I had someone I know and love put something on Facebook the other day. And they said, listen, I want to tell you right now, God don't look at your outward appearance. God only looks at your heart. They were just mad. You could see it. You could hear it. Mad. Because somebody had told them something they was doing they shouldn't do. And they were saying, hey, God don't care how I live. He cares about what I am inside. God gave me an answer for that. You go out in the chicken house and you catch you a beautiful fryer, 3 pounds. You take that fryer to the chopping block and cut off the head. Then you take it in the kitchen and you clean it up. You wash that inside out of all of its entrails and everything on the inside. You make sure it looks clean as a pin. But don't worry about the feathers. That's only the outside. And then you take that chicken that's clean on the inside and you cut it up and cook it, feathers and all. Well, the outside don't matter, so why do you need to worry about it? So you cook that chicken, feathers and all, and put it on the table for your family to eat on Sunday noon. Did anybody hear that? Did you hear that over there, Roscoe? Huh? Oh, it don't matter what's on the outside. Well, then eat that chicken, feathers and all. Or you can take it to the fish house and get you a fish and leave the scales on it. Have you ever tried to eat a fish with the scales? Buddy, that'll tear you up. I promise you, I've had that happen accidentally. Oh, no. I want to tell you something. That idea that God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he only looks on the heart, is first stupid. Excuse me, you're not supposed to use that word. But it's horribly wrong. is horribly wrong. Well, the devil is in the business of creating learning that takes you away from God. And the world is full of it. You watch that dumb box sitting in your living room hour after hour after hour. You listen to everything the world's got. You sing their tunes. You talk their language. You think their thoughts. You live like they're living. And you're going to get in such deep trouble. It's going to take over your life. Oh, so false learning. False learning. I mean, that's what the devil did in the garden. He came into the garden and said, oh, you don't believe what God said. He said, thou shalt surely die. He said, thou shalt not surely die. See, that's the devil. False learning. It's everywhere. That's where sin begins. Listen to me, fellas. Listen to me, folks. Every bit of the wrong in your life begins with the way you think. I am convinced that higher education is the downright gates of hell. I'm not kidding you. Now, it don't mean it's all wrong. It don't mean that somebody that can think straight can't go and learn and get better jobs. I'm for all of that. I'm just showing you that the ultimate learning, the secret, say Brother Dillon, was he went to study engineering. He didn't go to study philosophy. When you study their philosophy, it is full of the devil's language. You know that? How many of you know that? There ain't no question about it. There's no question about it. The world's thinking is evil, and that's where sin begins. But then it doesn't just become in the things you learn. It becomes in the way you live. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. I don't want their way of living. I don't want their idea of vacation. I don't want their ideas of wealth. I don't want their ideas of great knowledge. I don't want their ideas of great learning. No. I don't want them, because that's where sin starts. It starts with knowledge. What's in your head is determining what you're going to become. If you understand that, let me see your hand. Do you understand that? What's in your head will determine which way you're going. You get an old bull-headed attitude. Nobody's going to teach me that. Every time Brother Chambers says something that you don't agree with, you kind of bow up in the back and act like a bullhead. You're doing nothing but laying the groundwork for your future. You're doing nothing but preparing your life for eternal destruction, because sin begins with knowledge. Sin begins with knowledge, and then sin becomes the things you live, the way you live. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. No, sit it in the seat of the scornful, thinking. See, you see every bit of it right there. That's the knowledge of sin. That's the knowledge of sin. But David could look past it and said, but he that meditates on the things of God day and night, he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Hallelujah. The knowledge of the world is one thing. The knowledge of God is a greater thing. Hallelujah. Oh, the knowledge of God's word, the knowledge of God's living, the knowledge of God's grace. Somebody help me. Blessed is the man. But he lives in the counsel. Oh, I love the counsel of God. The more I read the Bible, the more I love it. The better it means to me. Let me read this now. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. But his delight. Now think, everybody in this building, if you're not saved, if you don't know you're saved, think. Listen. Are you thinking the things of the world? Are you doing the things of the world? Or are you meditating and delighting in the laws of God? There is no happy Christian living without delighting in that Bible. That Bible is the final book of the ages. That Bible is the greatest book of learning on the face of God's earth. That Bible is so full of scientific truths, so full of philosophical truths, so full of psychological truths, so full of eternal truths. Everything the world talks about in the learning institutions is every bit of it in the Bible. Every bit of it is in the Bible. And you quit delighting in their learning and you start delighting in his learning. Amen. See, that's where sin loses its grip on your life. Now listen to me. If you're not saved, you need to hear this. Because what you are thinking and the decisions you are making are going to either take you to heaven or they're going to take you to hell. It is just that serious. And this is where death all starts. Death has no other basis but in disobedience to the laws of God. It has no other basis but sin. It has no other basis but living contrary to the path that God has laid out for you. That Bible is just like getting a scissor robot piece of machinery. Let's say a garden tractor, and going home with that garden tractor and running by Alice and Harvester. That'd be okay. And getting you one of their catalogs. I need a book to go by to look at my scissor robot tractor. Well, we don't have a scissor robot. I'll just take the one of the harvester. I'll use that one to run my scissor robot tractor. Do you understand how foolish that would be? But that's exactly what you're doing when the world's telling you how to live instead of Jesus. That's exactly what you're doing when you think the world's thoughts instead of God's thoughts. That's exactly what you're doing when the world is training you instead of God is training you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So lay all your higher education aside and get you a King James Bible. Hallelujah. Get you a Bible that's the absolute truth of God and put all that other. And listen, let me bring this down to Christian education too. I've been around the Christian schools. I've been around the Christian education institutions. There's a few of them that's almost pure. I know two that might be close to purity. Brother Joe knows the two I'm talking about. But I want to tell you right now, you can even listen to some of the things coming out of them, and it doesn't sound like it ought to sound. Are you listening to me? It doesn't have the, I never forget Brother James Joe at the retreat. Got up after I had taught something to the whole group. And he said, boy, I never did hear that in college. Well, yeah, I'm just here to tell you that the learning of men never matches the learning of the Bible. There's no such thing as an institution of learning that is higher and above and greater than this holy book. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? Everything of death begins up here. That's almost over my head to say. It really is, Brother Marlon. But it all begins up here. The knowledge. Whatever is in my noggin is what's going to determine my eternity. I want you to say that with me. Whatever, I'm not going to make you say noggin, so don't worry. Whatever is in my head. Say it out loud, would you? Whatever is in my head, come on, will determine my eternity. Are you listening? Now you see, this is why we go into homes all over this community, and these dear men, they understand my language. They're dearest friends. I love them dearly. I want to tell you something. We go all over these communities, and people don't understand nothing, almost nothing, about God. You talk about the rapture. What are you talking about? You talk about, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I mentioned the blood. And they looked at me dumbfounded. What do you mean, blood? Did you know the blood of Jesus is one of the most hated commodities in the world today? How many of you knew that? One of the most hated commodities in the world is the blood of Jesus. Oh, they can't stand. That has been so stripped. Public education. If you read the news, every day or two, you see where some kid got in trouble because they tried to mention God in their presentation at a school function. They tried to use something about God in a theme they had to write for the English paper. I mean, every day almost, some kid somewhere is in trouble because they mentioned God in a public institution. Because the knowledge of this world is absolutely what they depend upon. And they're scared to death of the knowledge of the Bible. Are you listening to me? If you want to shed a few tears with Brother Chambers, that church over on Little Rock Road, I drew the plans. I designed it. We dug the foundations. We hauled the decking. We set the rafters. We put in the windows. I've got pictures of that building. It's worth $5 million along with this land. And God gave it to us with labor and dedication and devotion. I come by there this week and the steeple is gone. The steeple is gone. The cross is being removed, whether it's gone or not. I started to stop and see if they let me go in and take a picture, but I knew I'd get somebody angry and somebody mad if I even tried to go in and take a picture. And we built it for God's honor and God's glory, and now it's been sold to the public school sector, and they've already told them not a prayer can be prayed, not a scripture can be quoted. The cross got to go. The steeple's got to go. Everything about God's got to go. Let me tell you, that's what the world represents, and that's the knowledge that's taken this generation to hell. I know family members that have a higher degree of learning than you can imagine, even beyond the master's level. And they begin to talk about politics, and they are so dumb. The language they talk is so illiterate. It takes my breath away. I had to tell somebody recently, they were coming to my house and they wanted to make sure I wasn't going to try to preach to them. I said, all right, I'll just be your family member. If you'll keep your mouth shut, I'll keep mine. And they came. But one of my children showed up. And you know what they did? They took that kid off somewhere where they could talk without me hearing them. Made me madder than a setting man. You say it made you mad? Yes, mad. Yes, mad. What's wrong with this crazy generation? I'll tell you, the knowledge that they've sought after has led them astray. Because the knowledge of the Bible is the antithesis to all ignorance. The knowledge of the Bible is the answer to all dumb thinking. The Bible is the answer to every ungodly life. The Bible is the answer to every person's destination. You'll either go to hell on the things of this world, or you'll go to heaven on the things of God. Now, how many of you choose the things of God? Let me see your hand. Stick them up high. Come on. Come on, guys. Are you raising your hand? I love you guys. I really do. I'm preaching to them this morning, but I'm preaching to you too. I want you to understand something. The knowledge that the devil has put in this world is destroying it. But that book is the answer. Now, I did that to show you that the basis of death is knowledge. That blew my mind. The basis of death is knowledge. If you got the wrong knowledge, death has got you on a dead end road. If you got the wrong knowledge, knowledge has got you on a dead end road. Now, the beautiful thing is you're sitting in a Bible-believing church. You're sitting in a church where the Holy Ghost is at work. You're sitting in a church where people are praying for the greatest revival this city's ever seen. And it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I feel it working all over my being. So, oh, hallelujah. It's going to happen. But it's going to happen with the knowledge of that Bible. And everybody's not going to like it. But God's going to take care of that. Hallelujah. Because the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now, let's talk about death. Death is the result of knowledge which brings a life of disobedience. Death is a result of knowledge that makes you listen to the world instead of listen to God. Death is a result of someone who will not hear an old-fashioned preacher. They'd rather hear a professor in a liberal institution. That's it. They'd rather listen to some liberal on the news. You better quit listening to drive-by news. I'm telling you that right now. The fake news world is so full of baloney until it's amazing. It is a horrible mess. You start listening to God. You start listening to the Bible. You start listening to the word of the Lord. Because I want to tell you something. When Jesus came to this earth, he came to destroy death. And death is as dead as death can be for the man or woman who will run to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Are you listening to me? Death is defeated. I said death is defeated. I'm not waiting for another resurrection Sunday. I'm living in a resurrection Sunday every Sunday. I'm not waiting for another holy day. I'm living in a holy day 7 days a week. Now listen to me. Listen to me. I'm here to tell you that death has been destroyed. It has no life for the believer. Hallelujah. Raise your hand and wave it and thank God that death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. Oh, I tell you right now. Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Let me take you to another passage of scripture. I love this book. This book is full of truth. Did you know that? This book is full of truth. Hallelujah. On the great day of Pentecost. This is in the book of Acts chapter 2. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Did you know? Whom God hath raised up. That's Peter preaching about the resurrection. And he said it. It is not possible that he should be holden of it. When death was laying in that sepulchre, and the disciples were hiding for fear. The women were braver than the men. That's often the truth, by the way. You guys may not like that, but I'm telling you the truth. Sometimes women are smarter than men. But they were laying, they were hiding. They were shut up behind locked doors. Did you know that? Did you know the disciples, while Jesus was in the tomb, were shut up behind locked doors? Did you know they didn't even have the windows open? They didn't even have the windows open. And they were hiding for fear. But there were some ladies, some godly saints, and they went on resurrection morning. They come to anoint his dead body, but they found the living Christ. Well, they actually found angels to start with, until one of them then saw the living Christ. Hallelujah. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. Now you look at that body laying in that sepulchre for 3 days and 3 nights, and it's laying there, and the skin worms are trying to get to it, and they can't even touch it. I mean, I imagine the skin worms were crawling all over that tomb, and they're trying to get to that dead body. They knew there was a body in there, but they couldn't touch it. There was something shielding it. There was something protecting it, because David had said, it is not possible that he should be holden of death. Hallelujah. And when the morning came for Jesus to arise, he came up out of the great depth where the saints of God had been for 4,000 years, and he passed by that empty tomb, or that tomb, I should say, and emptied it. Hallelujah. And the Son of God walked out of there alive. And death has been defeated ever since. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you know that death is just an enemy making a lot of noise? A lot of noise. Sometimes I even hear that noise. I go to to the graveyard every Friday or Saturday. Not a week has passed that flowers didn't go on my sweetheart's grave. I keep going over there hoping to find it sprung open. And it will be shortly. Are you listening to me? How many of you know she's going to rise from the dead? Can I see your hand? Come on, let me see your hand. How many know she's going to rise from the dead? Absolutely. Absolutely. When that trumpet sounds, brother, when that trumpet sounds, death will have had its last hurrah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I guess there'll be some during the 7 years. That'll bring it to a conclusion. But I'm here to tell you, church, we got a lot to be happy about. We got a lot to shout about, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Death had no hold on him. Let me take you for a little trip. Are you with me? Jesus is hanging on the cross. He finally says, it is finished. He bows his head and he gives up the ghost. The Bible said he gave up the ghost. The ghost wasn't taken from him. That's his soul, spirit. Wasn't taken from him. He had to give it up. So he gives up the ghost and disappears. And they come get his body. They take his body, and Joseph of Arimathea loans his tomb. I can imagine, I love this. I can imagine somebody went to Joseph of Arimathea when they heard they were going to bury Jesus in his tomb and said, are you giving up that beautiful tomb for that Nazarene? Are you giving up that beautiful tomb for that man that was just crucified? I don't know that he said this, but I can imagine he's just barring it for 3 days. Anybody hear that? He's just barring it for 3 days. He'll be out of there. Well, he goes down into hell. Jesus goes to hell? He sure does. But it's a divided place. There's an upper hell and a lower hell. A lower hell and upper hell. In the lower hell is all the wicked. In the upper hell is all the saints. From Adam and Eve until the last of the Old Testament saint had died. They're all in there. And Jesus spends 3 days and 3 nights down there. It must be a big place. Can you imagine all the people that have been saved from Adam and Eve all the way to the time of his death? Can you imagine the multitude? And they couldn't all be in the same room. I guess they were spread all over the place. And there's multiple places. And as he walked through there, everywhere he went, he stripped death of all his power. Everywhere he went, he grabbed death by the throat and put it under his feet. Everywhere he went, he grabbed the keys of death, hell, and the grave and put them in his pocket. Hallelujah. And when Jesus got through walking through that place called hell, upper Sheol, he said to all the saints of the whole 4,000 years, I'm sorry, of the whole 4,000 years, get behind me. We're leaving here together. Hallelujah. And they arose, and all the saints ascended to heaven, and he went by Jerusalem to spend a few days. Hallelujah. Because he had some more preaching to do. Listen to me, church. I'm here to tell you that death has been defeated. Hallelujah. Death has been defeated. Amen. I want to tell you right now that death is under his feet. Death is under his feet. Death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. But only for those that will listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, and you leave here knowing that the knowledge in your head is taking you to hell, and you won't let me transform that knowledge by the gospel, to be in the Word of God in your head. Whatever's in your head, see, when you're born again, he strips your head of the past and puts a new understanding up there. Are you understanding me? When you're born again, he makes you think like a different person. He makes you live like a different person. He makes you walk like a different person. He changes everything about you. He changes everything about you. And you have to decide. I said to Bob this morning, I said, Bob, you can be saved right there. You don't need to wait. I don't know that he will live. As sick as he is, you know, it could be the end for him. I pray it won't. I said, I don't want you to die, Bob. I want you to get in here and live for Christ and help me win souls to Jesus. He says, I want to do that, Brother Chambers. I said, are you ready to trust in the blood? He said, I am. I said, are you ready to pray? He said, I am. Are you surrendering your life to Christ? He says, I am right now. And so we prayed. I felt God. I felt his sweet presence. I'm claiming him. How many will claim Bob this morning? Let me see your hand, Brother Buck. I'm claiming Bob. Come on, I'm claiming Bob. I'm claiming. It's almost over. It's almost over. I'm telling you, we're near the end. But Jesus has defeated death. Death is nothing but a scary enemy. Death is nothing but a screaming demon trying to tell you there's no hope. Death is nothing but a lie from the pit of hell. That's all it is. And it will master you and take you to hell with it. Death is on its way to hell. Death is almost over. Death is on its last leg. I'm here to tell you, death has very little future because Jesus is coming in all the beauty. Oh, raise your hand and help me. Jesus is coming in all the beauty of heaven. Oh, get ready. Bow your heads. Heavenly Father. Okay, throne this. I'm all God to me. Help me pray, saints. Oh, trying to hush him here. There's people in this building this morning, Father. They're not born again. They still love the world. Their mind hasn't been transformed yet. They may have been saved, but they need to be sanctified. Father, I pray for this congregation that we will understand that the knowledge of death and sin is all rooted in a disobedient life. The moment we turn around, Father, it'll make a world of transformation. Father, I claim that transformation this morning. Are you listening to me? Now heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and my singer is getting ready to sing. I want to ask the question. Anybody in this building that will raise a hand and say, Brother Chambers, this morning, I'm ready. I want to change my way of thinking. I'm ready to give my life to Jesus Christ. Would you slip your hand up? Way up. I want to see it. May not be anybody this morning. We had a man here Wednesday night that said he wanted to get saved. I tried to find him Thursday, but couldn't find him. I'll find him before next week is over. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Jesus wants to save you, dear friend. Whoever you are, if you're not saved, and I don't really know, I don't try to judge people. I just care for people. But if you want to come to Christ, you want me to want us to pray for you. Raise your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody's ready. You're ready to continue on in your false knowledge. You're ready to keep on obeying what your heart's saying to you, what your brain's saying to you. It's up to you. I'm going to love you either way. I'm going to keep praying for you because I don't plan to give up. I've never met a sinner yet I'd give up on. I've never had anybody hate me so much I could give up on them. I've never had anybody to treat me so mean I couldn't keep on praying for them. I don't intend to ever let anybody go to hell that I know anything about unless I give my best to reach them. I'm committed. Anybody want to raise your hand? Pray for me, Brother Chambers. Pray for me. Please pray for me, Brother Chambers. I'm in and out and up and down. I don't really have it. Pray for me, Brother Chambers, to get my feet on the rock. Anybody here that needs your feet on the rock? Raise your hand and say, I want my feet on the rock. I want my feet on the rock. Thank you, lady. I want my feet on the rock. Now, would you stand? Singing for me, Brother Joseph. Singing. Listen to it.
My soul and the Savior.
Nothing.
So that His blessed face may be seen.
Anybody? Oh.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Preventing the least of His favor.
Oh, God.
Keep the way clear.
Anybody? Would step out and come forward and say, I'm coming to Christ. All right, I want everybody in this building, everybody, to come and meet around the altar. Nobody's going to press you. Nobody's going to pressure you, sirs, ladies. Nobody's going to try to force anything on you. This is a choice. Sin begins with knowledge. Forgiveness also begins with knowledge. Forgiveness begins with good knowledge.